good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamo. With me is Benjamin Solak, joining you guys for the Thursday edition of the show. But before we get on with the Thursday edition of the show, we have a special message from our friends over at Visa, and that is help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time that you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with your contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. This is by Visa. Everywhere you want to be official partner of the NFL. And Ben, speaking of the NFL, God, listen to the transitions. We're on one. We're already on one this podcast.
We're 1-0 on the betting podcast already.
Ben, I'm just going to go right out and say it. How the hell are you, my friend? Now I'm jazzed. Now I nailed the two transitions. I'm ready for this episode. Right. I am ready to whoop your butt in predicting
games. Do we know how we did
yet? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
Oh, tremendous. Okay, well, we're flying blind.
We put out the Joe, please help us message basically like 12 hours ago on the other podcast, so...
I'll be very frank with you, Trevor.
My name is not Frank, honest. But thank you.
Confession to make. He messaged us. I don't know why that took me so long to say. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. I'm beating you. I'm 11-4-1.
What am I?
Wait, I'm 11-4-1?
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's so irritating because I went like 2-3 against the spread on games. I bet all the wrong ones.
What is my
in terms of ones I actually took?
What is my record?
You are 9-6-1.
Okay, so only two games behind. Who did I push?
Push on the Chargers -3 against the Bengals. That was the exact took it. Yeah. Trevor, you had New England covering against the Dolphins, as well as Arizona covering against San Francisco. I, however, had the Raiders covering against Carolina, Chicago covering against Detroit, Jacksonville covering against Indianapolis, and Denver covering against Tennessee. At the time, the line was 2.5, so we got the cover.
So you're two games up on me right now.
Yes, sir. Okay. My confession was going to be that I'm terrified of contactless pay. And so I cannot execute that, which our friends at Visa have asked us to execute. But that feels like it's not an important point right now.
Well, they're sponsoring the podcast, so you better get over it.
I will enact one contactless pay tomorrow. I will overcome my fear, and I'll let you know.
I want Mayor to videotape you just shaking about to do the contactless play. The easiest thing in the world.
It's not even like... I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of doing it.
Do you trust the system?
No, I'm afraid of, like, so I'm fine with doing it. I see the symbol sometimes and I'm like, contactless pay, here we go. But what I don't want. Shut up.
And then you cower in fear.
Yeah.
Here we go. And then you.
Here's the thing. There's no possible way to look stupider in the world than to just walk up to a regular black piece of plastic and tap your credit card on it and have a cashier explain to you that you're a moron and there's no contactless pay. So my fear isn't really contactless pay. My fear is doing it 99 times and the 100th time just assuming it's there and it's not. Yeah. And then I'm just whacking one piece of plastic against another piece of plastic trying to get money to transfer. That's mortifying to me.
Okay, I could see your angle now. I could see
Thursday night game.
I can see the manifestation of your fears. Yeah. Speaking of manifestation of fears, God, we're on a roll today. The Cleveland Brown fans trying to continue to believe in Baker Mayfield. Hello, Cleveland hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals put on a show last week. Not gonna lie, they made it close. If they only had a competent kicker. Or maybe just a kicker who didn't get hurt. I don't know how much the injury really affected the kick because it seemed like he was off of his foot and then he got hurt. But still.
Interesting.
Bengals made it a big contest. Cleveland Browns, on the other hand, could not make it a contest against the Baltimore Ravens. They got absolutely worked. Browns, though, favored by 6 against Cincinnati at home. Ben, what are you thinking for this one?
Man, I would take the under, and that's not available for us here. I don't think
the under is 43.5.
Yeah, this opened at 45.5. 44, 43 is a little bit of a scary number. 44 is a 24-20 game. And so under 43 is a little bit concerning in that regard. But I'm not sure we have two 20-point offenses here. Important to note that both of these offensive lines are really, really poor. And also both teams do like a little bit of a run-heavy script on neutral downs. Cleveland under Kevin Stefanski and then Cincinnati in the second year under Zach Taylor with Joe Mixon both like to run the ball. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. If I lean under, then I usually lean towards the dog because with a lower point margin, you're expecting a lower point margin. And here I'm inclined to take that. I actually have money on Cincinnati this week as well as on the under. The under is the bet I like more. But I think that what you have in Cleveland in terms of their offense right now is if it's going to be successful, it's going to be running the football. It's not going to be through the air. So right. I don't think they're going to pour on a ton of points. Right. Meanwhile, Cincinnati had two drives that got inside of the Chargers 30 there at the end of that game, and then they came away with 0 total points. This team's offense is better than it looks, even with a rookie quarterback. The quick turnaround is the concern here, but early in the season, you're not as worried about that. I like the Bengals +6.
I do too. I looked at this game and I thought, well, one Thursday night, so you know these are normally stinker games anyways, because it is, as you said there, guys still recovering, short week. You're just not as crisp. And then you went ahead and made all of the actual points for the game that I would have made and the reason why I would pick Cincinnati as well. I just don't think it's going to be that high scoring of an affair. And 6 points as something that the Bengals are going to get, that's way too much for me. I mean, like, even if this game was, I'm not going to lie to you, like, even if this game was like 3.5 Cincinnati Bengals, I'd probably be picking the Bengals. But 6, this is a pretty confident one for me going with the Bengals. I don't think they're nearly as much of a disaster as this line makes them out to be. Well, on Sunday, first game, Los Angeles Rams, Philadelphia Eagles. I promise I didn't do this on purpose. This is how it's listed on Bet Online. Rams going to Philly, and the Rams are favored by 1 point. So essentially, it's a pick 'em kind of a game here with a 1 point line. Rams are coming off I don't want to say surprising because I feel like that's insulting to the Los Angeles Rams. They had all offseason to prepare for it. They came out and they were well prepared and they got the victory against the Dallas Cowboys. Now they get a chance to maybe take out the other favorite in the division in the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles got to bounce back here. I think they're getting Lane Johnson back. They're getting Miles Sanders back, correct? Those are both guys that they expect to be in the lineup.
Expected. That Lane, Miles Sanders, and Derek Barnett, all expected. I'll tell you as a fan, I would not believe anything the Eagles front office. The old 22 is out. Okay. I would not believe anything the Eagles medical staff says.
Okay. Did the Eagles medical staff tell you that the all 22 is out? Because that'd be awkward.
No, Nate Tice on Twitter put a thing out, but it is KC Houston, so maybe they just got the Thursday night football game done.
That would be
either way.
Stupid.
Okay. And no, I don't think it is. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm currently checking right now. I know I'm on the air and this is irresponsible. But anyway, this is a 4.5-point swing for the game as it opened. The Eagles opened as 3.5-point favorites over the Rams after the Rams win against the Cowboys. And this has since moved 4.5 points. That is a tremendous amount of movement on this line. I don't know what to do with it. I have no schema. There's no, okay, when the line moves 4.5 points and crosses the winner, crosses the money line, here's what you do. There's no rule book for this. If the Eagles have Lane and Sanders back, I think that this is about an even game. I do think the Rams are a little bit worse than the Cowboys defense made them look. I think the Eagles defensive line will be able to give them some more trouble. I like the Eagles, but I have really no bearing on this game. I don't like any of the lines associated with it. Too much of it worries me.
You're taking the Eagles getting a point?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking the Rams. I was very impressed with what they were able to do in Dallas. It was in Los Angeles, right? That game? Because they were
opening, the Rams were, game yeah, was in the new stadium.
Up,
yes.
Yeah, they were opening up the new stadium. So I was impressed by the way that they were able to handle Dallas, even though it seemed like Dallas was just slow out of the gate. Like, it seemed like they weren't on their P's and Q's, if you will. They weren't the Dallas Cowboys in tip-top shape, hitting the ceiling that we know this offense can be. But, I mean, I got to give some credit to Sean McVay and that staff and how they prepared, and I think they're going to be ready for the Eagles as well, because as much as coaches kind of say, like, oh, you know, it's a one-week season. We're looking towards the next opponent, and that's kind of it. When you're starting a year and you go Sunday game and then the next game is a Thursday game, you have to mentally be prepared to make that super quick turnaround. And I think that Sean McVay and that coaching staff are very well equipped to do that. I think that they're going to be ready for it. Philly, I feel like they're still going to be licking their wounds. And I think that they're going to fare better than they did against Washington. But I'll still take the Rams here to start their season 2-0 and get over that 1 point that they have to clear here.
I have bad news, Trevor.
Yes.
The All-22 is back down.
What do you mean back down?
Nate got one play, the opening kickoff, Kansas City, Houston, and now it's gone again.
Okay, how did Nate get it immediately? Does he have notifications on? Can I?
I don't know. He just posted a screenshot, Trevor. I'm live reacting over here.
Is he just like hammering the enter button? Whatever. Okay, next game.
F5.
Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, I didn't. Our two teams, the first ones. I really didn't plan this. This is how it is on BetOnline. I swear.
Yay.
Carolina looked a lot more competitive than I think the people were willing to admit in that first game, but they came up short. They were 0-1. Buccaneers fell to the New Orleans Saints, in which people have already claimed that the season is over for the Buccaneers. They have no talent left. Brady's going to retire. Bruce Arians is going to retire. Chris Godwin's already gone in free agency. It's over for them. The regime that never started is done. Bucs are favored by 9.5 here. And this does become interesting because historically, even with adjusted numbers for a 14-team playoff, since 7 teams get in this year, if you go 0-2, you have a less than 12% chance to make it to the postseason. Not just even like win your division, like get to the playoffs at all. The Bucs, which you and I had high hopes on, you have them much higher than I did in the season predictor, but a lot of people really believe in this team. If they drop this to Carolina, they would then be 0-2. So 9.5 points, it's a lot of points, but you figure Tampa Bay's got to come out guns blazing. They got to win this game. But is 9.5 too much for you? What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I've whiffle-waffled on this one. This is another one that I would prefer not to touch because I don't know if the Carolina Panthers' offensive performance in week one is telling me more about Carolina or telling me more about the Raiders' defense. And I'm worried about that performance being a lie. That Tampa defense, man. I went through the Saints Tampa game, you know, broadcast film earlier today.
You sure you didn't get one play of 20? Yeah.
I did not realize that Tampa only gave up 17 points on drives that started in New Orleans territory.
Yeah, they were good. They were locked down.
Yeah. 8 drives, 17 points against the Saints defense. That's really impressive. Carlton Davis.
Put some respect on it.
That boy can play a little ball.
Put some respect on it.
As a man who had him fairly high in that class, you love to see it.
Yeah.
We were worried about Carlton there for a hot second, but we came through. I do think that defense is going to take the wind out of the Carolina Panthers' sails on offense to the tune of 10 points. Is a lot. That's a tough ask. You know, we're talking about a game here being about 29-19 in terms of the total. It's tricky for me, and I'm also not certain that even if the Tampa offense is clicking, they're going to be pouring on points like that. I lean Carolina here. It is tough. I do think that Carolina's performance is lying to us a little bit. I do think Tampa's performance offensively against the Saints is lying to us a little bit. But 9.5 is still a little much for me.
There is kind of two ways to look at it here, because initially when I looked at this 9.5 and went, oh, I'm picking Carolina. Like, I think this game's going to be more competitive. I have no doubt that Tampa's going to win the game, but I think that Carolina's going to keep it a little bit closer. Carolina lost by 4 points, 34-30 last week. They had that one drive where it was a two-play drive that Robbie Anderson just took that long pass a mile. And let's say, like, you take that drive away because, shoot, in the second half, it wasn't really working for Carolina. Here's how their game started. Here's how the second half started for them. Three-play punt. They had then a 17-play 75-yard drive, which is really methodical, but I think the Bucs defense is better than the Raiders defense. You know, I think that they're going to clamp down on some of those big plays. The Saints didn't even have an explosive until the fourth quarter, and it was one. You know, yeah. they put the lid on that Saints team. And so, as much as I thought I had confidence in Carolina, I'm going to go Buccaneers here. I think that they're going to clear the 10 mark. I think they're going to win by double digits at home. I think they're.
I like how we both took our 0-1 teams to cover, and the other one didn't. I think that's fun.
Blind faith, baby. Denver Broncos. Traveling to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers coming off holding Saquon Barkley to 6 yards on 15 carries. What does that have to do with this game? Not a lot, but I just had to make sure that Joe Judge heard me there. 6 yards on 15 carries. Not great. Steelers have one of the best defenses in the NFL, but they are favored by 7.5 against the visiting Denver Broncos, who came up just short. Maybe thanks in part to Fangio's inability to recognize when to use timeouts, but
maybe
what do we think here for Denver visiting Pittsburgh? 7.5 is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. And it's funny because Pittsburgh really shouldn't have been in the position they were beating the Giants by how much they were beating the Giants, given the interception that Daniel Jones threw near the end zone. And Denver shouldn't have been in the position to even potentially cover against Tennessee, given the 10 points that Steven Gostkowski took off the board, right? So, you know, we've got two teams that are 1-0 against the spread. Both of them should not have done that. Like, you know, that was nonsense in both ways. So I lean back on what I thought preseason about these teams, both of which I thought had games where they kind of settled into their own as the game went on. That Pittsburgh offense, if they just stop trying to run the football on every single first down, is going to be a lot better. And with James Conner out, who, I mean, they were at a point in the second quarter where James Conner had over 50% of the offensive attention, whether it was target or carry. He was over 50% of the offense. Nobody, all the rest of them combined, weren't as important as James Conner was. With Conner dealing with a potential ankle injury, I believe it's ankle. Perhaps I'm incorrect.
Yeah, Benny Snell, baby.
Yeah, they've got Snell. They're going to continue to run it. But I do think that they're going to let Roethlisberger throw it a little bit more, which is great news for that team. Meanwhile, Denver potentially dealing with an A.J. Bouye injury. I think the Steelers are going to be able to hang points on
him. No, he's out. AJ, I think, out for sure.
Yeah. So I really like the Steelers to be able to cover here. The total is also at 41 and has fallen, I believe, since opening. I might buy that back if it continues to go down, because I do think that with one less Jerry Jeudy drop, especially with the potential of Courtland Sutton getting back in this game, as well as the Steelers throwing the ball a little bit more, I think 20 points is within reach for both teams. And so I'm looking at that over a little bit, especially as it falls. But I do like the Steelers -7.5.
Okay, so you got them covered. I'm taking the Broncos. So we're going opposite there on that one. I just think that it's too many points for me. I've got confidence in the Steelers to win this game. I'm just not sure if we're going to get to the point yet where it seemed like Pittsburgh was scoring at will a couple of years ago with Big Ben at the helm. I think that that might come at some point this year, but not right now. Even with the injury to Bouye, even with Von Miller not being there, I've got some faith in this Broncos defense led by Vic Fangio to keep it close, and I do think that we're going to get it within a 7.5 points. I still got faith that the Steelers win this game, but Broncos are 7.5. That's too juicy for me. I'm going to take the points there. Atlanta Falcons at the Dallas Cowboys. Atlanta coming off getting Russell Wilson'd hard. And that's about the only way I can describe that week one game with Atlanta falling to the Seattle Seahawks in a game that really was not close for more than half of the game. Dallas Cowboys lost, as we already mentioned, to the Los Angeles Rams on the road. So Cowboys now get to host the Falcons. Falcons going on the road for the first time. Dallas favored by 4.5. The favoring of Dallas is not surprising. I thought this line would be a little bit higher given how Atlanta played last week. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I take one look at the Atlanta secondary
And then I take another look at the Dallas Cowboys wide receiver core, and I'm inclined to take the Cowboys covering 4.5. Now, I got burned taking Dallas against the Rams. They were my biggest liability, and they hurt me. Now, when you look at why they lost that Rams game, number one was the inability to stop the running game and the screen game, which is something that Atlanta is trying to get, but they do not have the offensive line continuity or talent that you had in Los Angeles. And then the second reason was because they had some key downs go the incorrect way for them. The 4th-and-3 conversion, in which they only picked up 2, obviously the late bomb to Michael Gallup, which was which fell incomplete. They figure to be better on those high leverage downs against Atlanta. That Atlanta defense bleeds, baby. The Falcons, it's a one game sample. They look as we expected them to look. You know, on this podcast specifically, in terms of this is much of the same, and then and it's going to be difficult for them to, I think, pull themselves out of the gutter until they kind of have a whole reset in the coaching staff. So I like Dallas minus 4.5. I still have a lot of faith in that Cowboys team, that Cowboys offense.
Yeah, as you could tell by me saying that I thought this line was going to be higher, I'm taking the Cowboys. Atlanta, if there was an area of their team in which they could be struggling, and I think that they would have the chance to figure it out, it would certainly be secondary play on the defense because of Dan Quinn. But I feel like Dan Quinn has been able to work that kind of magic the last couple of years, and I just wonder if at some point it runs out and it's just too much for him, because we mentioned how much better the Falcons have been when they've been able to make those midseason adjustments after the bye week. Starting the season just has not been kind to the Falcons under Dan Quinn's tenure. I don't have faith that they could turn around this easily, this quickly, maybe even at all this year. So we've been down on the Falcons before. I've had a couple of you message me on Twitter and both Instagram talking about, like, hey, the Falcons got talent. I agree. I think the Falcons have talent. You could see that on offense, man. 3 100-yard receivers last week. That's crazy. They certainly have a quarterback that can get it done and push the ball really at any time that they want, but I don't think they got that defense fixed yet, especially not, like you said, they're competing with Dallas's pass catching group and just offense overall. I'm going with the Cowboys to cover that 4.5 that they're going to be giving up against the Falcons. Hey, before we keep going, it doesn't matter if you are a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everybody needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo of products that can help you relax, regroup, recharge when life gets hectic. The first one is CBD Freeze with Menthol, which is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient, easy-to-use roller or a shareable little squeezy tube. The second one is CBD Recover. Combine CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like vitamin B6 to help you get the support you need when it matters most. To make things even easier to try these amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they are giving our listeners 25%, folks, off your next order. When you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL, that's all caps, locked space on space NFL. Make sure I have to spell that out. Once again, that is CBDMD.com. The promo code is LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, next game on the slate, San Francisco 49ers looking for revenge after coming off a loss against the Arizona Cardinals. They're facing the New York Jets. They're traveling on the road. Mm-hmm. 49ers are traveling all the way across the country to face the Jets, but I've got to think that if you're looking to bounce back and get a win, the Jets are going to be one of those teams all year long that we're talking about as a favorable matchup. San Francisco on the road, favored by 7 points. Does Jimmy G and the boys have enough to overcome the 7, Ben?
I'll be honest with you. When the line opened,
what
do
you
I was
hold
like,
on? What's the alternative? You just going to lie straight to my face?
I will lie to you.
Thank you.
When the line opened, I bought it because 7 points against the Jets for the Niners is silly Bo Billy. And then Kittle didn't practice. Sherman got put on IR and Akella Witherspoon was in the concussion protocol. And I was like, hey, wait, I don't like this. I think the Niners are still going to be okay on -7, which I currently own and hasn't really moved. Ayuk and Ben Garland both practiced, and Garland's a big deal. Hronis Grusow had a really tough time in week one against Arizona, and so I think that getting Garland is going to be helpful for them in the event that both can play. But, man, you're looking at no Richie James, no George Kittle, no Debo Samuel, no Jason Verrett, no Akella Witherspoon, no Richard Sherman. I mean, it's a lot that they're losing out on at the skill positions and then covering receivers. And so this could get weird. I don't know if San Francisco is going to be able to dominate. I'm going to trust on the Jets making mistakes, poor decisions. And I really think that the San Francisco defensive line, which was a big advantage against Arizona, but got neutralized by a lot of really quick passes, is obviously going to also have a really good game against that Jets offensive line as well. So I will continue taking Niners -7, but this Niners attrition, the Niners and the Eagles, man, are just two teams that are struggling right now with health.
I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to pick the Jets this year, because as the year goes on, I do not think the Jets are going to fare very well. But here we are in week two. I think the players are all still bought in. It's the new season. They're hosting the Niners. As you said, the Niners have a long injury list to them. 7 points. I'll take the Jets. I don't think that they're winning the game, but I'll say that having it at home makes it close enough for them. I don't necessarily trust Jimmy G, with as hurt as the 49ers are, to really just like put it on him. Now, like, if Kyle Shanahan just comes out and absolutely outsmarts the crap out of Adam Gase, then not only does that tell me something about Kyle Shanahan continuing to be a genius with the roster that he has in front of him, but also I'm not going to pick the New York Jets like at all for the rest of the year, basically. I think that they've got to really take advantage of this opportunity and they beat up San Francisco 49ers team. I get that they're good. I know they're good, but you listed a lot of important weapons both on both sides of the ball that they're not going to have. 7 points, it's a touchdown. Give me the Jets. I think they keep it close. Don't think they win the game, but I think they keep it close in this with it being in New York.
I think that your thing should be this. If you do like the Jets to potentially cover this, the under is what I'd be looking at, because
42 is the number that I have.
If you draw, like, if I tell you, hey, the Niners had a bad game from Jimmy Garoppolo and have like their top three receiving weapons may all be out for this game, you would say, that's no problem. Kyle Shanahan loves running the football. Running the football is the best. Raheem Mostert, baby. The only thing the Jets can do is play run defense. It's the only thing they are good at. They were good at it last year, and they weren't great against the Bills on it, but a rushing quarterback kind of changes the numbers. No rushing quarterback in San Francisco. If the Niners really don't have a passing game, they're going to try to run it a lot. And the Jets are going to be able to control that, control tempo and control the score. That's how you get the cover. So if you're like, oh, I want to bet the Jets, but also I really don't want to bet the Jets because it's the Jets, the under is probably where you want to go there because it fits the game script.
Next game, Buffalo Bills traveling to Miami to face the Dolphins. Bills coming off a commanding win over, you guess it, the New York Jets the week before. Josh Allen's numbers, very good last week. Played pretty well, now going to a Dolphins team and still licking their wounds from facing Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. It is a divisional matchup here between these two teams, which games are always important. Doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the year or at the end of the year. Dolphins at home, still the dogs. They're giving up 5.5. No, they're getting 5.5. Sorry, mixed it up there. Dolphins are getting 5.5 at home. Bills have got to cover a 5.5-point spread on the road. Ben, what do we think? Ooh, the over-under on this one's 40.5. That's
low. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that Miami Dolphins offense really struggled to get going, and it's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick's getting an easier secondary to throw it on, brother. I mean, this Bills secondary is arguably...
begin to try to logic your way into what you think is going to happen with Ryan Fitzpatrick week to week.
Good point. I actually forgot the Fitzpatrick corollary to all betting logic. No, this was another line I bought the moment it opened at 5.5. I think it's going to move the Bills' way. It hasn't really yet, but I would be surprised if it holds. The Bills beat the Jets significantly and had multiple turnovers inside of the Jets territory. The Dolphins lost to the Patriots by 10 and had a scoring play by the Patriots get fumbled out of the end zone for a touchback. So the both scores are lying to you in the favor of the Bills. I think 5.5 is extremely disrespectful to perhaps the only team, one of a couple teams that can take what the Patriots did with Cam Newton and replicate it in terms of the QB power running game. Obviously Baltimore with Lamar, but Lamar's a different sort of runner. Josh Allen is a Cam Newton sort of runner in terms of his size and his athletic ability. Yeah, I mean, I'm as worried about the Bills' passing game and Allen's accuracy against Trey White as anybody else, or excuse me, against Byron Jones and Xavier Howard as anybody else is. I think the Bills will be able to run the ball with impunity, especially with the quarterback involved. To me, 5.5, like I said, I get it's a divisional game. To me, that's ludicrous. The Bills should be more of a touchdown favorite. This is one of my bigger liabilities this week.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in this game later in the season. Like, I think that Miami's catching Buffalo at a bad time, coming off the Cam Newton game, and I'm not so sure it's like, okay, Cam gave us a blueprint, here's how we do it better. I think that the Bills are just still going to kind of be able to do that same sort of stuff. I don't know if this is going to be like a runaway game, but 5.5, I just think that the Bills are one of the better rosters in the NFL. They have that quarterback component that clearly worked against Miami. Now, I know it was Belichick and McDaniels thinking stuff up, but Brian Daboll, I don't want to disrespect him and what he's been able to do with Josh Allen and that Bills offense. So I guess I don't want to say it too much as a slight. You should be compared to the GOAT right there, so it's a little bit difficult. But I'm with you. I'll go with all that to say I'll go with Buffalo. Getting over the 5.5 points, even on the road. It's a divisional matchup, but unless Fitzpatrick really changes things around and changes the tune of what he was able to do the week before, which he very well could do. I've covered Fitzpatrick myself. I know the volatility with him. Mm-hmm. I still think that on paper and in simulation and where you're going, hey, this matchup, I think it makes too much sense for the Bills to cover this 5.5 points here.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings, Indianapolis Colts.
We're finally at the lines that I like. This is good.
Two teams that need a win. They need a win. Indianapolis drops the game in week one to an exciting Jacksonville Jaguars team that really came out of the gate, showed a lot of creativity. I don't think Indianapolis was ready for it. I don't think Indianapolis was also ready for rookie cornerback C.J. Henderson to play as well as he did because he was a really big factor in that game. Minnesota lost in a shootout to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Tough to stop Rodgers when things are cooking like that. Colts at home. They're favored by 3. As stated before, Ben, these are two teams that desperately need to not start 0-2 in this season. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't have a good vibe on the Vikings. I don't have a good vibe on the Colts, right? I think both teams played games that were surprising, that I don't think people expected in terms of how they played out. With that said, if I've got the opportunity to get the Vikings on a key number at 3 and protect myself from a field goal loss, I'm going to push that. That's what I want. When I don't understand two teams, I don't have a great beat on either. I tend to lean towards the dog in general, and especially in the case where I think you have a more experienced coaching staff, you have a quarterback who's been in the offense, been in the system longer, and on top of all of that, I hesitate to say this because I'm not more confident in Kirk Cousins than I am in Phillip Rivers, but I think Kirk is who he is, and I think Rivers, in experiencing his age, that Jacksonville film was not good, and there's a chance Rivers isn't who he's always been, the way that Kirk is currently who he's always been. You know what I mean? So I like the Vikings covering plus 3 here. I don't have a great beat on either team, but I'll take the dog.
Yeah, it's one that I'm interested in, but I agree with you. I don't have a good pulse on it. So with that being said, you're taking Minnesota, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take Indianapolis. We can have some fun here. We'll disagree with this on this one because...
Yeah, I can't fault you on that. Yeah,
I could come up with reasons for both teams, I think, to win this game. It's a fun one. It's definitely two teams that we were really looking forward to and that we were, I don't say too highly favored, but I guess both of us had Indianapolis finishing with double-digit wins, so they got to figure it out here. If that's going to be anywhere close to true, they can't really start 0-2. So I'll say Indianapolis, Frank Reich and the rest of his staff gets him ready. They get the win at home. They cover it by 3. I'll go with Indianapolis on this one. Detroit Lions. Oh, the Detroit Lions. Coming off a heartbreaking loss to the Chicago Bears. I mean, you can call it heartbreaking. You can call it a choke job, whatever you want to call it. Still feel bad for DeAndre Swift, man. I hope he bounces back this week. They're traveling to Green Bay. And if last week was any indication, Aaron Rodgers, he's on a revenge tour this year. It might even be against the people in his own building, but he is taking it out on him on the field, and he is showing exactly why he is still one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and that is always dangerous. Packers are favored by 6 points at home against the Lions here. Ben, what do we think?
I think it's appropriately priced. Again, two teams that I'm not very sold on where I am on them. The Lions gave up a 17-point deficit in the fourth quarter to Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. I learned that that is the fourth time that's happened in the last, I think it was 13, 14 years since 06.
Not great, folks.
And I think, I'm pretty sure the Lions have done it twice. I'm pretty sure the Lions are two of the four teams in the last 14 years to give up a 17-point deficit in the fourth quarter. So that sucks. What I look at here and what you had from Green Bay in terms of their deep passing game and their ability to hit Devontae Adams, there could have been even more if not for a drop from Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I don't have a man cover defender in Detroit like Darius Slay, who used to be the answer to Devontae Adams for the Lions. That player is just not in Detroit. They did not replace him. It's not Desmond Trufant. It's not Jeff Okuda, who's obviously banged up. Like, it's just,
is Okuda,
they don't
have
that.
What's Okuda's injury?
Dude, I mean, like, I'm not even sure if Okuda's injury is being overstated because they just don't want him on the field because apparently his camp was bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very odd situation in terms of Jeffrey Okuda. I don't want to misrepresent it, so I'm going to look up his injury thing.
Hold on. Jeff Okuda returns to practice in full, baby. We've got it.
Okay.
They're going to put Okuda on Adams, and it's going to be rough.
Okay. Oh, I thought... yeah, that'll be bad.
You're right.
I agree.
That was the statement.
Yep.
There was a period at the end of it.
Yeah. So I like Green Bay minus six here. I do think it is the right price. I would not be surprised if this is close deep into the fourth. But I do think that Green Bay is clearly the better team. And I do want them still at 6 points because of the advantage I think they have in the passing game.
Six a lot. Detroit should have won.
Six a lot. Detroit should have won that game twice.
They should have won that game twice. They should have won it one because they had a double-digit, more than two touchdown lead on a team in the fourth quarter, and you should win that anyways. And then after that whole debacle, giving up that whole lead, they should have won the game because DeAndre Swift should have caught the ball. They should have won that game twice last week. Give me Detroit. Give me the 6 points. I got to think that they keep it close. If they don't just completely melt down, I think that this has got to be something that's close for the Detroit Lions. And if they absolutely melt down this week and they lose by double digits to the Green Bay Packers, Patricia's got to be a dead man walking.
I mean,
like, you can't start this season that had a decent amount of promise 0-2 in the manner in which they would start this if they don't cover 6 points.
I'm just really looking forward to in October when we all finally accept the fact that the Lions are not good again, because they're not.
Would you have the Lions as? Do you have them bad?
I think my number was like 5-11.
Oh yeah,
6-10.
No, that's bad. Okay, I think I had them like around like 500, maybe 9-7.
Yikes!
Yeah, I just I mean, listen.
Hate to see you, Trev.
I do think that Kenny Golladay coming back helps. How much?
A lot. A lot.
A whole, you know, touchdown? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah, okay.
Ben, they should have won the game twice. Twice! I can't get over it.
Yeah, Chicago's a little different than Green Bay, my dude.
Yeah, I know, but... Speaking of Chicago, they're hosting the New York Giants this week. Giants coming off a not great Monday night performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bears riding high. Mitchell Trubisky, I always believed. They're favored by 5.5 against the Giants here this weekend. 5.5 points for Trubisky. Oh, man, but the Giants are bad. What do we think, Ben?
This is all before I say who I'm on, I will say I have the most money on this game.
You have the most. Now, are you saying singular bet?
The biggest bet I've made in terms of just a point spread, because I do, like, you know, totals and I do player props.
Uh-huh.
The biggest point spread bet I've made is on this game.
For the Bears to cover?
The Giants to cover. Giants are I might sprinkle the Giants money line on this. Giants are a good team in terms of their. I should not say that. Giants are not a good team.
I was like, where are we going with this?
Yeah. The Giants' offensive production in the passing game against the Steelers was excellent. They were good passing deep. They were good passing shallow. Daniel Jones has proven to me that he is a adept, quick game player. First read, RPO, one-step drop out of gun. He's got all that. And that deep ball was getting better in his final season at Duke. It got better across his rookie season, and it looked good on Darius Slayton's touchdown. They have the weapons, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley in the slot, to be a good, quick, shallow passing team, nickel and dime you and control the clock in that way. They're going to be able to run the ball a lot better against Chicago, which is still a good run defense, but is nowhere near what Pittsburgh is. So that's number one. Number two, Chicago is not going to get the same pass rush with their down linemen that the Steelers got. They're going to blitz because Chuck Pagano loves to blitz Daniel Jones. And Jones is a good passer against the blitz. He's not great, but he's a good passer against the blitz because he usually throws right into the teeth of it, either quick or against man coverage on the outside. The Bears do not have the outside corners to run with Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, Jalen Johnson, Kim Fuller. You know what I mean? Like that's what we're looking at in terms of who they're fielding on the outside. And so,
hey man, I like Jalen Johnson.
Right. This Bears team, as we just went over, covered a 17-point deficit to eke by the Lions in a game that they shouldn't win. Are we positive the Lions are a better team than the Giants? I think the Giants are in a comfortable cover position. I understand it's a short week, but again, I'm not overreacting to a short week in week two. Where, you know, the rest is still going to be fine. It's the first travel of the year. Giants are going to be okay. And I think that there's a good chance the Giants beat the Bears as well.
I thought the Bears were bad last week. And I think they're going to be bad again this week. Although the Giants were not great last week in what they wanted to do execution-wise. But there is a chance that the Giants could be better at what they want to do this week. 5.5 points is too many points between two bad teams that I think could really struggle to move the football against one another. So, give me the team getting 5.5 points. I'm going to take the Giants as well. Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans. Jacksonville coming off one hell of a win in week one, in which Gardner Minshew became, what, the fourth quarterback in NFL history to complete more than 95% of his passes, right? It's the fourth. He was only the fourth one ever. He went 19 for 20. Wild out here. Tennessee Titans. Steven Gostkowski. Again, I always believed. Never wavered. Full confidence. Will Compton gave him a hug before he went out there for that last kick, and that's what did it. Hugs matter, folks. Titans favored by 9 against the Jaguars? This is disrespectful. Yeah. This is disrespectful, Ben.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going Jacksonville. Easy on this one. 9 points?
I tweeted today that I thought the Giants at 5.5 was the weirdest line of the week, and there's a few weird lines. And somebody in my mentions was furious that I didn't say it was Jacksonville. And I was like,
I think 9 points is too many. Like, if the Titans were favored by, again, like, let's say the Lions flip, let's say it was like a 5.5 thing. All right. Then I'm thinking about the Titans at that point. Nine, I think, is too many for me. I'm in on the Jaguars plus 9.
It is a lot, but dude, Jacksonville, listen, Minshew needs to be...
That's fine, you're a hater.
This is the thing with Minshew's good game and his high completion percentage game. He completed 95% of his passes, Trevor.
Fourth quarterback ever.
At 4.5 yards per attempt. And his CPOE, completion percentage over expectation, next gen stats, was through the roof, plus like 14-16%, which is to say that if he attempts the same 20 passes, the same depth, which is a very shallow depth, he's not expected to complete 95% of them. He's expected to complete far fewer into tight windows.
I would think that nobody would be expected to complete 95%.
Right, but it's to say that like the Colts defense is built to give up those
balls. It's built to give up those underneath completions. And the Jaguars took that. They were good converting on third down. Minshew didn't make any mistakes, and they won it. They got two interceptions, critical pick six, whatever. Tannehill's not going to make the same mistakes that Rivers made, number one. Number two.
You don't know that.
Adoree Jackson, Christian Fulton, and Malcolm Butler is a lot different than Kenny Moore, TJ Carey, and Xavier Rhodes.
No doubt.
Or Rocky Sin. No doubt. Excuse me, Rocky Sin. So to me, I do not think the Jacksonville offense is going to have the same success moving the football down the field. I think the Titans defense is well suited to dealing with a quick game approach, going to be able to generate pressure better than the Colts did as well. They did a good job generating pressure last week against Drew Lock, and that offensive line, the Jaguars offensive line, is a little bit better, but not significantly better than the Broncos, in my opinion. And the Titans, I think, have a more explosive deep passing game than we acknowledge. Yes, they lost 10 points on kicking. So if they just go for it on a couple fourth downs, I mean, that's a massive point swing against the Broncos. And I think we'd be having a different conversation if those points came on the board. So I'm taking the Titans minus -9.
I think the Titans are going to have more success running the ball against Jacksonville. Therefore, I think the opportunities or desire for them to really open things up is not going to be there. I just think that 9 points is too much. I think Tennessee...
It's a lot.
But it feels like a trap.
It feels like a trap line,
it definitely
man.
Feels like a trap, but you know what? I'll be a sucker for it in the Jags this week. I will. I'll take it. Because you are right. This is a different defense that they're going up against. It was easier for Minshew to pick him apart. He's not going to be as efficient as he was last week. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I also, on the flip side, something that might be worse for Jacksonville in that I think they're not going to be able to stop Derrick Henry might work in the advantage of this number line, because I think that it might cause this game to be more low scoring. If that's the case, this is almost a double-digit point swing for Jacksonville. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the 9 points here. Washington football team, Arizona Cardinals. Of course, 2-1-0 teams that we all expected. You know,
we all
expected for this to be a titanic matchup here between undefeated teams going into week two. Washington, as Ben said earlier this week, was bad. They're getting 7 points traveling to Arizona. Cardinals are 7-point favorites. Man, I'm not so sure. I thought that Arizona was going to be a big-time touchdown favorite against many teams this season. Here they are in week two over Washington.
Yeah, it feels like a letdown spot for the Cardinals for me. The Eagles were 5.5-point favorites against Washington, and Washington had exactly one advantage in the game, and it was their defensive line against the Arizona offensive line, and they ended up beating the Eagles by 10. So that's 15.5 points difference, which is not all that defensive line. The Cardinals critically will do that, which the Eagles didn't, which is the quick game. It's how they neutralized the 49ers defensive line, and it's how they'll likely respond to the Washington defensive line. But big-time game, first week with DeAndre Hopkins against the NFC West winning, NFC champions, 49ers. They play that tough game, they play that good game, and they're able to come out with that win. Then you play Washington off of a very emotional win for Washington. It's just a spot after those two divisional wins where you're like, somebody's going to come out and dud, and I'm not sure who it's going to be. Like I said, it feels like it might be a letdown spot for the Cardinals where they let Washington hang around. I think Washington's going to be able to run the ball decently well on that Cardinals defense. I don't like this one. This one worries me. I'm going to take the Cardinals minus 7, but I don't like it.
I'm going to take the Cardinals too.
Yeah.
I can't trust Washington enough yet. Right. I understand, y'all. I am giving y'all all the props in the world for starting the season 1-0. I'm not trying to take anything away from Washington in that regard, but I just can't believe in them yet. Go ahead.
One thing I will say, this line opened at 6. It's popped up to 7 at Bet Online. Mm-hmm. It's very likely, in my opinion, to get back down below 7, 6.5. And so if you're looking to take this on Arizona, try to sit on it and wait on it and check and see if you can get it at 6.5. That's going to be the much more favorable bet for you.
Folks, this season, get your football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with their condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football that you could possibly handle all in one place. NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long. You will also learn from the league's best players with over 40, count them, 40 NFL Game Pass film sessions and episodes go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down their game, concepts, and techniques. Guys like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free 7-day trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. All right, we got a couple more games that we're getting to. It's an interesting one here. It's an exciting one. Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Houston Texans. This is game two of Houston's gauntlet to start the season. They started off with the Kansas City Chiefs, now facing the Baltimore Ravens. Next week, they go against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, tough sledding in the first three games for Houston. Baltimore is favored by 7 as the road team here against Houston. As a team that might not only start 0-2, they might start 0-3 here, the Houston Texans. Ben, do they surprise people and take down Baltimore this week?
No. No, they don't. Why would you say no? Absolutely not. They're going 0-2.
Over-under on this game's 51.5.
And Trevor, I was going to mention it. If you're making me take something, it's the over.
It's a lot of points.
Convince me the Houston defense is better than the Cleveland defense right now. Go.
Can't. J.J. Watt. Right.
Watt's healthy. So is Myles Garrett.
Justin Reed is good. Their corners are bad.
Yeah.
Zach Cunningham plays linebacker.
Right, this team struggles to rush the passer. They have a very aggressive linebacking core in Bernardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham, who can be taken advantage of on things like, I don't know, read option, arc read, freaking GT counter, three dudes in the backfield moving around, nonsense, pistol shenanigans that is the Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson offense in Baltimore. I think those linebackers are going to have their heads in a blender. I think Baltimore's in for another 30 burger. And then you're asking yourself, can Houston put up 14 points, 17 points on the Baltimore defense? Some of it coming in garbage time. And to me, they can. So to me, I like the over if I'm looking at that. And this might 51 is once again a significant number in terms of if you're betting this line, you have to worry about a 31-20 sort of a game. That being said, it looks like it might fall, and if you can get it at 51, that's where I would buy it. Baltimore -7. It's week two, and I'm already in. I will bet against Baltimore, and I will bet against Kansas City if and when they show me I should. And up until that point, Baltimore -7, no hesitation.
10-14. That's what I think the Ravens win this by. So I'm obviously taking the Ravens to cover the 7 points. I think that they're going to win by double digits. I don't know if they're going to blow them out. I'm not quite there yet on pressing the panic button with the Houston Texans yet, although I think the Ravens are really good. I think it's going to be a double digit win. That's the range that I think. So I got them covering as well. Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers. Chiefs on the road, divisional opponent. They're favored by more than a touchdown, 8.5. Against the Chargers. So Chargers, 1-0 team, coming off beating the Bengals. Maybe a little luck there involved, but getting 8.5 points is a lot of points, Ben. What do you think?
Don't like this one. Kansas City -8.5.
8.5's tricky. 8.5's a lot of points.
Right. All right, are the Chargers as bad as they were of a team against the Bengals? Probably not. Kansas City against Houston, massive cover, and they probably didn't even play at their capacity, but is Kansas City even interested in playing at their capacity in week two against the Chargers and a team that they're almost definitely going to beat? Right. Like, I can see Kansas City just not being super sharp. I can see Kansas City just ball controlling this thing, and then obviously not really ball control. They're not really going to run it that much, though they ran a decent amount against Houston. Long rest. I mean, Chargers don't have playmaking, a quarterback. I think that Shane Steichen, the new offensive coordinator there, or is it Nick Sirianni? I always mess up. Is Nick Sirianni in Indianapolis and is Shane Steichen in freaking LA, or is it the other way around?
He's an American football coach who is the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts.
And Steichen is in LA. Yeah. So he's committed to running the football. And so I think that's going to slow down the game, and that's going to help keep the gap big. So yeah, Kansas City 8.5. But it's a weird spot for the Chiefs, which is like, I just don't think they're going to be like, yay, football. I think you should be like, all right, let's beat this team and go home.
I'm taking the Chargers. 8.5 is a lot of points. I don't think they were as bad as they were last week. I get it. I know. But I don't know if Kansas City is super interested in just putting their pedal to the metal. Like, I think that Kansas City could go out and score 55 every single week. I don't know if they want to do that. I think they're going to coast. I think they're going to win this game. No doubt about it. But I think the Chargers are going to keep it somewhat close. I'll go 8.5 here. Divisional game. Why not? New England Patriots. Seattle Seahawks. This is the night game on Sunday. Man, we got to watch this one. I know we got to record our Monday podcast at right around halftime, but we got to make it snappy because I got to make sure that I get all of this game. Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, New England. Not often this happens. They're getting 4 points. They're getting 4 against the hosting Seattle Seahawks.
Extremely difficult line. Two teams that came out in ways that, like, we thought maybe were possible, but we were not certain was going to happen. And that's New England with the beauty that was that QB rushing game, that QB power game with Newton at the helm, and then Seattle yeeting that thing down the field, brother. Throwing the football around the yard. It's very tricky to figure out exactly. Like, you know, Pete Carroll's out there putting quotes like, man, we really should have gotten Chris Carson more involved. And it's like, dude, no, you finally did it right. I'm inclined. It's not dissimilar to the Minnesota-Indianapolis game. I'm inclined to take the dog in a situation where I'm not positive what's going to happen. I do think it's going to be a run-heavy script for both teams, which is going to shorten the game and thereby keep the game a little bit closer. I do have a lot of trust in the Patriots' defense. Seattle has the linebacking core.
Yes.
Plus Jamal Adams to deal with a lot of what's going to be thrown their way with the QB run game and the QB power. They do not have the defensive line. And I'm worried that this could be a traditional handoff game, not necessarily a Cam Newton keep game, where New England, who's got a humongous offensive line, our boy Michael Nwenu took like 20 snaps last week. I didn't realize all 365 pounds of him. I think they're going to be able to move Seattle off the ball. So I'm going to take New England to cover, but it's a tough one.
I'm going to take Seattle because I think the ingredients for you to be right here are there. I think the lack of strength on the defensive line is going to be more of a problem than we realize. You know, Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, those are the two guys that we're going to bring up. If they get, you know, have the one-on-one opportunities with Cam Newton, they're going to neutralize him a lot better than I think the Dolphins were able to, no matter how you shake it up. But if you look at what Pete Carroll kind of said already this week, like, yeah, you know, Russell Wilson was great, but what about running the ball? We're going to run the ball. That makes me think lower scoring game, less likely to be something that Russell Wilson can take over and extend the lead. But I think we're about to witness a special season from Russell Wilson. And I don't even know if Pete Carroll himself can get in the way of that enough in some of these games like this. I think that Russell's performance last week, albeit against a not good Atlanta secondary, was incredible. This is a great barometer matchup for me of what the Seahawks could potentially be this year, because if they continue to lean on Russell Wilson, if he carves up, or maybe not even carves up, just has good success against a New England Patriots secondary, then I'm all in on him having the fast track to be an MVP candidate this year, and maybe even the MVP front runner. So because I want to believe in that, I'll say Seattle covers by 4. There are realities on both sides where I can really figure this thing going. Your side, I think, has more logic to it, but I'm going to lean towards the, hey, let's be surprised in a big way. Let's marvel at Russell Wilson. Let's let this be his year. Maybe even Pete Carroll notices that a little bit too. So I'll go Seattle to cover the 4 points at home. Last game, Monday night game, New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders are getting 5.5 against a New Orleans team that will be without Michael Thomas, right? I mean, he has been declared out, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't have Michael Thomas in there. They're going to have to figure it out. Drew Brees even looked limited with Michael Thomas last week. Saints offense didn't look all that great. That Bucs, I have faith in the Bucs defense to be a nice unit this season, but man, they put the clamp on them. Can the Raiders do something similar, or do we think that New Orleans is going to open it up and win this bad boy by more than 5.5?
Saints offense didn't look that great against Tampa. Carolina offense put up 30 against the Raiders. And as I brought up when we were talking about the Tampa Panthers game, don't know what exactly that tells me, whether it's about the Panthers offense or about the Raiders defense. But if it tells me anything about the Raiders defense,
Saints could not have Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, and Emmanuel Sanders. Sean Payne's going to score some points. I bought this line when it opened at Saints 5.5, and I still feel strongly about that. I do not see how the Saints don't pour points on this defense. Even with a guy like Thomas out, you can still anticipate them finding the matchups they need with Sanders, with Kamara, and with Cook, that they're going to be successful throwing the ball down the field. I also think they're going to be able to run it with Kamara and Latavius Murray at will. That offensive line is mean Joe Green, man. I mean, they move people, and the Raiders don't have a great defensive line. So I'm there on the Saints. Is it great? No. Did Drew Brees throw a pass of more than 20 air yards? Yeah. So we're going to be okay.
I'm with you as well. I think New Orleans gets back on track this week. I got faith in that offense to really turn things around. I better have faith in them. I had them representing the NFC in my playoff predictor. I really do think New Orleans bounced back a little bit, and I think that this week, when New Orleans starts moving the ball a lot better than they did the week before, I mean, that young Tampa defense is going to get some respect too, because I felt like we're on one in week one, and maybe they'll have a repeat performance. We'll stack that against New Orleans team that I think is going to handle the Las Vegas Raiders. So 5.5, easy money for Drew Brees and company. I think that even without Michael Thomas, they'll be able to cover that as the road team. There we go, everybody. All the games previewed. Ben and I somehow both perfect on all of our predictions.
Despite the fact we disagreed on like 8.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, like it's somehow the podcast where Ben and I have continued to never be wrong. It's one of the eighth, you know, it's the eighth marvel of the world, this podcast. The fact that it's somehow correct defies logic. But that's why you guys listen.
Tomorrow. Proud of me, proud of you, of Marvel.
I would be proud of Marvel.
Marvel being the first Marvel of the world.
Dude, try to eat goose poop today. We're feeding him premium dog food, and he's over here just like going after any kind of goose poop he can find on the street.
I get ate grass, threw up, and then continued eating grass and didn't poop. What are you doing, my G?
Speaking of poop, Fan Friday's tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. Jeez. We had an awesome week last week taking all of your football questions. Kind of the same thing this week. It's going to be football-centric. We're looking to hear from you guys about your favorite teams. Maybe where Ben and I were wrong in our predictions about them. What you have for them going forward this week and beyond. We're taking all kinds of football questions. But of course, it's Ask Me Anything as well. So get weird. Food top fives. Pop culture top fives. Make Ben feel embarrassed about how young he is and how he hasn't seen stuff or listened to music or whatever it is. It's all fair game. We have fun around here on Fridays. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.